Testing 1, 2, 3.
You can hear me?
We're good. You know what I'm happy about?
What is that?
That you and I didn't really have to watch football this weekend.
We had
other things going on.
It's a good thing and a bad thing.
It's a good thing for Sunday. Maybe not for Sunday.
Oh, yeah, I would say Sunday was,
We'll get to that, but what did you do this weekend?
Julia came into town, and it was just non-stop activities, whether it's hanging out with friends or a wedding or family or friends' family or whatever. It was just non-stop busyness, and yeah, I mean, it was a good weekend. Long, but it was good, and I'm going back up this weekend to see her for, ironically, another wedding and a baptism. Jeez. So, busy times in the fall.
You got that right.
What'd you guys do this weekend?
We were in Orlando. Lisa and I went down to Orlando for her niece's birthday party. On Saturday, she went to Disney with her friends. I went golfing by myself because that's like $150 less than going to Disney. And
how'd you shoot?
Oh, God, awful. Just pitiful. But I needed to get back out there because I'm in a golf tournament in October for work. Kind of needed to knock the rust off a little bit.
I would say I would be able to hit you up, but I'm not even free. I don't know when I'm free for golf. I've been golfing so long, I need to get back out there.
Hey, whenever you think about it, let me know because I'm right there with you. I need to get back out there and swing the club more. I'm still sore, and that was 2 days ago. But it was a good round, and then we went to the party and then walked around Disney Springs on Sunday. Just took it easy before we came back to Jacksonville and had to face reality again, which is Monday morning.
It's Victory Monday for the Noles and Depression Monday for the Jags.
It is. And with that, let's just go ahead and get started. It's episode 95 of Dimes on Duval, presented by Nerdy Nuts.
Paul Spicer, baby.
Paul Spicer. That's a good one. I'm trying to think of another sport. Screw it. Paul Spicer works for me. Mike is here. I am here. Skylar is not with us. We are going to be talking the same things we talk about every week. But this time we're going to start with the Noles because we want to start positive, don't we, Mike?
Absolutely. Because I am tired. Twitter was literally a toxic mess. X was a toxic.
No, you were right.
Toxic mess yesterday. I'd rather focus on something that's more positive. And since we're both Noles fans, we don't have Skylar on tonight.
Mm-hmm.
We'll focus on the Noles first.
31-24, your final score in overtime. The Noles get their first win in seven attempts or whatever. Seven-game losing streak is snapped for Clemson.
There you go. I was going to say in the last seven tries.
Whatever.
Eight tries.
I couldn't think of the right word. I didn't catch a lot of it. I only watched maybe the first half, I think you said.
So I watched. So I missed the first quarter, watched a little bit of the second quarter, and then honestly laid down for like the third quarter because it was a long weekend for me. Then I caught the fourth quarter in overtime.
That's the time to watch.
Yeah, it turned out to be a very good game.
Fourth quarter, there was no point scored, but still, the overtime touchdown was nice.
Well, the third quarter, I kind of refocused on the game right when Kalen DeLoach.
Drilled it.
Kate Klubnik and fumbled it. And then he tipped the ball, the defender, Braden Fisk, tipped the ball up in the air right into Deloach's hands, and Deloach ran it back for a touchdown. That was a momentum swing. Clemson was driving down the field, and we just took the momentum out of that damn Death Valley Stadium.
I was driving my golf cart back to the clubhouse when that happened. I got the notification on my phone. And it says fumble return touchdown or something like that. Scoop and score. And it said Clemson's, and I didn't even read the rest. I was like, crap. Jordan Travis got mauled by somebody on Clemson. They just scooped and scored. Now we're getting destroyed. I'm pissed off now. And I drove by a guy in a Clemson polo, too. I didn't say anything to him. I wish I had seen it then so I could have been like, yeah, suck on that. But Klubnik.
No, you don't have the. You would not have it the nerve to say it to a stranger. I would.
No,
you
I wouldn't. Probably wouldn't.
I would. But no, Clemson. God, I'm so glad we beat those Dabo Swinney. I just am glad we beat Dabo Swinney.
I hate Will Shipley. I'm so glad that we beat him.
He's the fake Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah.
He's literally a Christian McCaffrey knockoff. So he might be good in the NFL, but I'm just tired of him. He's gone. Thank goodness.
Yes, he is. He had 67 yards rushing and a tutty, and he also had 38 yards receiving and a tutty. So he's been their offense. Klubnik showed spurts of competency, excuse me. But Florida State comes away with the win. Jordan Travis throws a dime to, guess who, Mike?
Keon Coleman.
And that's who he needs to be throwing the ball to, because that was beautiful. And, you know, it's funny. We get this win, but the same issue still is prevalent. We cannot run the football.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's just like they just – the offensive line can't stay healthy enough to, like – have enough consistency to...
Or they're just not getting the right push at the line of scrimmage, because Trey Benson had 7 carries for 25 yards. His longest was 12.
Yeah, Benson's struggling. And I don't know if it's just because he is not focusing 100% or like the line's not developing holes for him. I know Rodney Hill...
3 carries, 1 yard.
Yeah, he hasn't played well. I mean, he played well in the first 2 games of the year. He looked good against Boston College, but he did not... obviously play much at all against Clemson. So I think this bye week will be a good opportunity for the Noles offense mm-hmm. to get refocused on the ground, because they got a pretty manageable schedule coming up, especially in 2 weeks. They got Virginia Tech at home, which was mm-hmm. just announced as a 3:30 kickoff. So I'm glad it's not a nooner.
Yeah, finally.
I'm tired of the nooners. So I think Florida State will be pumped and ready to go for that 3:30 game back at home, 1 of 3, I believe, in a row at home.
Yep. Syracuse after that, and then Duke.
Duke concerns me a little bit, but that's 2 weeks from now, so we'll see what happens, because Duke is ranked.
Doesn't Syracuse seem to like be in the game in the first half, and then we beat them too?
Usually, yeah, but there are times where we've
lost. That's usually in Syracuse.
Yeah,
so.
This time it's in Tallahassee, and they're not going to want – well, they're not going to have AC just like in their own stadium. So, but, yeah, I think Florida State, man, they looked very – so what concerned me about Florida State, I was with Julia at her friend's house, and before you know it, it's 10-0 Clemson. I'm like, oh, here we go.
Yep.
I'm like, oh, God.
I threw my putter down, I think, after
and then we scored quick, 10-7, and then 17-7, then 17-10. I'm like, okay, we're fine. And then we tied it up. They took the lead. Then we tied it up. Like, it was a classic back and forth of score, defensive stop. But I'm honestly, the play that changed the game was that fumble, strip sack, fumble recovery touchdown,
56 yards.
Yeah, that was a beautiful blindside. I don't know how I wasn't even blindside. I don't know how Klubnik did not see.
Well, the announcers were saying, and I agree, I think he thought that the tailback was picking up that block. And
he went to the left instead of the right.
He was on the other side.
Hey, sometimes, and that's the thing with 18 to 21-year-old kids, they're not going to – it's going to be – they're going to make those mistakes.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
that mistake cost Clemson the game, I think.
I agree.
Because after that run, momentum swung. And then the missed field goal by the – Hollywood ending. Oh, I was so God. Over the Hollywood ending that they were trying to force on this 22-year-old grad student or whatever. I forgot what his
Jonathan
name was.
Jonathan Whites.
Whites, yeah. Yeah. I'm like, okay.
I was 29-yard field goal.
And he hooked it left.
Yeah.
Left. I was like, oh, my God, we have a shot. We drove down. We couldn't get a field goal. I'm like, whatever, fine.
Yeah, and then overtime. We went on downs.
We threw it to our number one transfer, throw it up. And it's kind of ironic that the play happened from transfer to transfer, Jordan Travis to Keon Coleman
mm-hmm.
against Clemson, who doesn't take any transfers. So, Dabo, yourself.
I see what you did there. Yeah. No, you're right. I mean, after the scoop and score, the momentum completely shifted. They punted 1-2 times, missed the field goal. Then the end of game happens because they just kind of gave up. But with that, when Florida State went on downs, I remember I thought, like, are they going to kick a field goal there? But it was like a 56-yard field goal.
Yeah,
out of his range.
I would have done the same thing they did.
And I'm glad that they went for it. You know, I'd rather see him go for it in that situation.
My concern, I was watching with my dad. We were at home. I was concerned if Florida State decided to kick it, it was about to be the kick six all over again.
Yeah.
It was about to be the Roberto Aguayo against Georgia Tech. Short or no, that was blocked and it was returned.
Nice.
Like, and it just like I hate kicking it with a kicker who's not comfortable, especially Ryan Fitzgerald, who's not the greatest kicker in the world.
Yeah, he doesn't kick the long ones. He's consistent exactly. from the short ones, and that's what you use him for.
He's not even that consistent from the short ones.
I mean, this year. I mean, this year, miss yet.
I mean, I'm just talking about from the previous 2 years, but it's just a risk you don't want to take. So I was like, just go for it. Worst case scenario, you lose by game-winning field goal by them, whatever, fine. But you best case scenario, you win the game, but more likely you're going to go to overtime. Right. So I was happy with that, and it worked out. And I am pumped that Florida State is 4-0.
It's a good feeling.
We legitimately don't have a potential loss until Duke and Miami.
Yeah.
And I say Miami because they're ranked, but I'm really not scared of Miami. I'm more scared of Duke over Miami.
Who are you scared of more, Miami or Florida?
Miami. Florida's a joke, man.
Okay, well, let's transition to Florida. So Florida is currently ranked 22nd at 3-1. Obviously, they're lost to Utah, but they beat McNeese, Tennessee, and Charlotte. They beat Charlotte 22-7. Yeah. Are we supposed to be impressed with that?
Nope, I'm not. Gator fans were in my message. Like, I literally just kept my mouth shut the whole game with Gator fans, the Florida State Clemson game.
Mm-hmm.
And then, obviously, when we won, some Florida fans talked shit, a.k.a. my brother was one of them.
Classic.
And I just removed three of them from my group chat because I was like, I'm tired of you clowns. So, yeah, and then the Gators came back. They won 22-7, and I'm very impressed with their win. Not really, because they are...
All they did was kick field goals.
It's literally one touchdown. Yeah, one touchdown and five field goals.
One, two, three, yeah. Four, five, yeah.
So, whoop-de-doo. I don't care. Florida's not good. They played Georgia in a month. But who do they play next week?
They have at Kentucky.
Oh, yeah, that's right. My brother-in-law is going down there.
Kentucky is 4-0.
Yeah, so that's going to be an interesting game.
Anybody, though.
Kentucky has not. They played Vanderbilt. Yeah, they've played Vanderbilt. That's their
Vanderbilt,
toughest opponent.
Vanderbilt, Akron, Eastern Kentucky, and Ball State.
Vanderbilt's their toughest opponent. However, Kentucky's the favorite, which is funny. but that's the home field advantage. Yeah. So that game is going to be interesting to watch.
Yeah, they've got at Kentucky at noon on ESPN. Vanderbilt at home at 4 the next week. And then South Carolina. And then, of course, they get their bye before Georgia.
So out of those four, the next four, Kentucky, Vanderbilt, South Carolina, Georgia, they have a potential to go 3-1. They're not beating Georgia. So if you think Georgia's going to lose to Florida, place your bet now because that's not happening.
No,
they can potentially go 3-1. More than likely, I think they're going to go 2-2. I think they're going to win Vandy and South Carolina. Those two are at home, right?
South Carolina's on the road. Vanderbilt's at home. I say they beat Kentucky. I say they go 3-1. They lose to Georgia. It might be close in South Carolina. I don't think
I think Kentucky's gonna win. I think Vanderbilt will lose to Florida. And okay. I do believe that Florida will beat South Carolina. So they'll be at 5 wins. A lot better than their expectation going into the season, because I know there were fans that were questioning if they're gonna beat these teams, but
yeah.
They're looking okay.
I mean, they're only allowing 13.5 points, which is 18th in the nation.
Okay,
let's just be
real. It's against the backup quarterback in Utah.
I'm just saying. Like
McNeese,
you know,
State.
For now.
Yeah, we'll see.
That catch. Did you see the?
Yes, and I
one
am
of the best
so
catches I've ever
sick
seen.
Of him. He torched Florida State. I am so did. Over him. I mean, that was an incredible catch. Don't get me wrong. And he got drilled.
He did get popped.
And he caught it.
How he held on with just one arm.
And how was there flags called on that play?
I didn't watch the highlight that far. I watched it one time and that was
I don't remember seeing flags thrown, but I could be wrong. But yeah, that was a dirty catch by Ricky Pearsall.
Oh, look, there's the image right there. Yeah. That's a pretty sick catch. So that's the Gators. Anything else across the board that you want to mention, or any games this weekend that are coming up that you want to talk about? I haven't looked at the schedule, so
Notre Dame blew it against Ohio State.
That one made me chuckle.
I kind of felt bad for the fans.
I don't. F Notre Dame.
I hate Ohio State more, but I mean...
I hate them both so much, but I hate Notre Dame fans because I know more Notre Dame fans.
I know more Ohio State fans, so that makes money. That's fine. Colorado, I don't know if... Did I say they're going to get humbled last week, or was I just thinking that in my head? I don't know. Anyway.
You might have said it off air. I don't know if it was on the show, but...
Colorado got humbled by Oregon.
I thought they were going to lose that game, but I didn't think they were going to get blown out
like
that.
I regret not putting the house on Oregon -20.5.
276 yards for Bo Nix. They look strong. Dude, Oregon looks really strong.
There is a chance that in the final year of the Pac-12, multiple teams are going to be in contention for the playoff spot.
Yeah.
There's a chance. You got USC, you got Oregon, you got Utah, you got Washington. Granted, they're all going to play each other, but man, there's a chance there three of them could have one loss.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a really interesting debate. Do you take a one-loss Pac-12, or do you take like an undefeated Florida State?
Yeah, that's true.
Or a one-loss, okay, a one-loss Pac-12 or a one-loss Big Ten, because Big Ten could be eating itself
up. That's true.
Penn State destroyed Iowa. What's another big game that happened this weekend? Alabama kind of handled Ole Miss. I don't think it was that close.
In the first half, it was like, okay, who's going to – second half happened. Alabama just opened it up. It was miserable. 24-10 was the final in that one. Washington State beating Oregon State 38-35. That was a pretty good game. I watched a little bit of that. But, I mean, all in all, the other ranked matchup, Penn State blanking Iowa 31-0.
That's not surprising. Iowa has no offense. They can't. They never have. If you really want to go into depression, which this is a perfect segue into the Jaguars, click on the Iowa-Penn State game real quick.
Iowa-Penn State game. Clicking on it. Let's see here.
And then look at the drive chart.
God, play-by-play.
Whatever leads to the drive chart. Now look at Iowa's. Just go by Iowa's.
Okay, Iowa. You have 6 plays, 24 yards.
Punt. Well, just the end of possession. Like, whatever the...
Okay, punt, fumble, punt, 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 punt. That was the first half. Second half, punt, fumble, punt, fumble.
It's bad, dude. Iowa has had no offense for the longest time, and if you are an Iowa fan, I am sorry, because you literally are relying on your defense.
Their quarterback threw for 42 yards.
Yeah.
They rushed for 20. They would have 100 yards of offense.
Yeah.
And 6 fumbles with 4 of them lost. Holy macaroni.
Yeah. So, sorry, Iowa fans. You guys are just, yikes. You better fight. Do you know the contract clause? I think it's a clause or an incentive. I can't remember. For Iowa's offensive coordinator, Brian Ferentz, who's the son of
the head coach. The son of the head coach, yeah. What's his name? 21 Kirk points Ferentz, or something?
Average 25 points a game. And what are they at right now, Keith?
Let's see.
Through four games, they are...
Points forward, 21.3.
They're at 21.3 through four games.
Yeah. Let's see where they got those. You've got Utah State, they put up a whopping 24. Iowa State, they scored 20. Western Michigan, they put up 41. Okay, and then 0 against Penn State.
It's bad, dude. It's bad. And it's not going to get much better because
they got Michigan State, then Purdue, then Wisconsin.
Well, honestly, the only tough team is probably...
Here, let me turn it for you.
Actually, the rest of the schedule is pretty manageable. They don't have Ohio State or Michigan, so they're lucky there. So we'll see. We'll see. But yeah, I thought you'd enjoy that, and so would everyone else when they hear Iowa's offensive possessions against Penn State.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Boy, oh boy. Yeah, well, you said segue into the depressing stuff. We have to talk the Jaguars. I was very purposefully ignoring my phone. I watched maybe 3 total plays because I just didn't really want to go through it. I went to the game last year, got sunburnt, and watched us lose, 13-6 or whatever?
13-6.
I got multiple offers to go to the game this year, and I'm like, nope, sorry, I'm going to be in Orlando. And Elisa's like, oh, man, you should have just, we could have gone back early on Sunday morning, gone to the game. I'm like, nah, I'm good. It's the Texans. I don't really want to be there for that. And I even said in my prediction, my score prediction, I only had a score in like 17 points.
Yeah, it was like, I think it put 19-17 or something like that.
I put like 17-9. Was 17-9. We were going to win 17-9. And guess what? We scored 17 points.
So you were right on the money.
They scored 37, not 9. And of course, we lose to the Texans because that's just what the Jaguars like to do. Mike, can you name one positive from the game? One. Anything. I have one, and I want to see if you agree with me.
That Doug Peterson took play calling back in the second half?
Well, yeah. I mean,
because that's a rumor that he took the play calling back in the second half, and actually the Jags are competent in the second half.
Yeah, because they started targeting Evan Engram, and that's how they knew. Evan Engram was my honorable mention, but my highlight was Etienne. He's Etienne the only one looked who looked good. Like he was trying. Well, he had 88 yards, but he was the only one on offense that really looked like he was trying out there.
The problem is, why didn't they give the ball more to Etienne? Why did they not? In the end zone, when they were about to score, they gave it to Bigsby, which is fine. He's a bigger guy, whatever.
Yep.
But Etienne, I remember in the second half, I got back from lunch with my parents. I watched the game. The second half, I'm sorry. Etienne was carrying that drive.
Which one? The one right after the...
The right after halftime.
Let's see. Yeah, 11 yards, 16 yards, right in for 5 yards, and then they give it to...
Tink Bigsby.
But then he got that was a penalty on that play. He ran for 10 yards, but it was a penalty. Pass to Etienne for 23, or for 17, I mean. Yeah, so he was carrying
Etienne was carrying that drive. Give him the ball. Let him get that well-earned touchdown.
Yeah.
You don't...
1 yard tutty.
They took Etienne out, but in my opinion, I was listening to Baselli on the way home. I'm sorry. No, we were eating lunch. I saw the Etienne touchdown. I'm sorry, the Bigsby touchdown.
Yep.
And I listened to Baselli on the radio. He said, if I'm Doug, I don't take Travis Etienne out until he asks to come out of the game. If he's completely exhausted, you run him. He was on fire that drive.
Agreed. You have another running back in that situation if he is gassed or
exactly.
Something.
Now, you say Etienne was a positive. Fine. I agree. He looked very good.
Mm-hmm.
Mine was the play calling in the second half, which is a lot better. But yeah,
the amount of negatives obviously outweigh.
We were down 17 zip.
Special teams, all of it was trash.
Luckily, I was driving home, and I literally see that they scored on the fullback touchdown. I'm like, what the hell? 80-yard return? Like, what? And then a block kick in the first quarter or second quarter, block yep. missed field goal.
Mm-hmm.
Jamal Agnew fumbling a reception.
Yep.
Ridley with the drops. Kirk. Lawrence looking like garbage. The defense can't stop a nosebleed. CJ Stroud lighting you up. 165-pound receiver and Tank Dell just beating everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there. If you remember when, I don't know if he still does this. Pretty sure he does. You know how Gene Fournette always gave report cards? I don't know if you remember that, like, in the newspaper the day after the game. I always look forward to those, Grant, before I realize how big of a loser Gene Fournette is. Yeah. You give every single position or every single part of that game F, F, F. Actually, I'll give running game B+ for the Jags.
Sure.
But everything else, F. Quarterback, F. Receivers, F. O-line, F. D-line, triple F.
Yeah, what's worse than F? Expulsion, maybe? I don't know.
Because the defensive line not getting any pressure on backups of offensive line. The offensive line backup, sorry, the English was not correct there. For the Texans is embarrassing. They were down 3 to 4 starters on the line. They were playing backups. Josh Allen, you cannot extend him right now.
They have 4 pressures. I think that's all they had. Or 4 QB hits, I think.
And what did I say was the overreaction in week one?
The D-line?
Because everyone's freaking out that the D-line got 4 sacks or whatever it was. Those weren't even sacks. They suck. D-line's a massive problem right now.
Mm-hmm.
And they couldn't address the issue in the offseason. This falls on Balky. This falls on Peterson.
All they did was draft Yasir Abdullah.
And that's fine, but like you can't just expect one person.
Yeah.
You can't expect one person to magically transform your D-line.
You could assign Calais. You could assign Yannick.
You could assign Jadeveon Clowney when he was in town.
Yep.
Like, something to help this D-line ignite.
We're never one of those guys that, like, want to get the flashy name out there, even if they're a little bit past their prime.
Oh, we've done the flashy name. It didn't work.
But I'm saying, like, we got freaked out because of, like, Hugh Douglas when he came in. And then, you know, you had some of those other receivers, Jerry Porter, Dennis Northcutt, you know, bringing some of those guys. And it was like, oh, well, they didn't do anything. It's like, yeah, they were way past their prime. You bring in Calais and you tell me that we don't have a sack in that game? I think they do.
I don't know, man. That D-line was so bad, and that caused an issue because CJ Stroud just lit our defense up. And by the way, I don't know if I said this on the podcast. I may have said this to some, I don't know. CJ Stroud's going to be the best quarterback in this class. I think CJ Stroud's a really good player.
He's got the poise.
The poise, yeah.
Like, he looked really comfortable in the pocket.
Well, to be fair, like I would look comfortable, too, because no one's going after me.
Well, yeah, true. He could have had a picnic back there, but he definitely looked poised in the few things I watched of him, but...
And I'm pissed because now the Jaguars are 1-2. I completely forgot the Texans are 2-1. I'm sorry, not the Texans. The Colts are 2-1 now.
Yeah.
The Colts lead the division.
Yeah.
Who would have thought that going into the season after three games of the year?
No one thought they were going to beat Baltimore, that's for sure. Everyone picked against them.
Oh, yeah. And honestly, I don't know if it was just a weird day in the NFL yesterday. The Ravens losing, the Jags losing, and the Cowboys losing to big underdogs.
And the Miami putting up 70.
It was a weird day yesterday in the NFL. There was a lot of scoring yesterday. But I don't know.
Green Bay coming back from 17-0. I mean, that was pretty
crazy. It was a weird day.
Granted, Carr went out with an injury, but, you know, still.
It was a weird day.
It was a weird day. But guess what? We're going to London, flushing out, getting out of Jacksonville.
Is this a must win? This is a must win. This upcoming game against the Falcons is a must win.
100%. And we should beat the shit out of them, but we probably won't. I think it's a must win. Do you?
Yeah. If you lose, you are losing your faith in the fan base. The fan base is losing their faith in you.
Desmond Ridder may be one of the worst quarterbacks I've ever seen. And their play calling is atrocious, and it's literally
just on Bijan Robinson and Tyler Algier.
Yep. Yep.
Kyle Pitts is a non-factor. Drake London may get an occasional touchdown. Kyle Pitts is turning into a big bust.
Kyle Pitts should be traded so he can go do something elsewhere. I still think he's good. I just don't think he's in a system that is ideal for him. But regardless of that, I don't really care about that.
But yeah,
who would have thought that we'd be, you know,
in a must-win situation
in
week
four? In a
must-win
situation in week four, and I'm sitting here. I want Zay Jones back.
I mean, Zay Jones, I don't know if he's going to come back, but...
I hope. He's questionable, but I want him to come back. I want to be able to have someone that I can rely on and catch the freaking football.
Who would have thought my parlay?
He was going out of bounds.
Who would have thought my parlay of FSU Jags money line would have been screwed by the heavier favorite in the Jags? God damn, I hate this team sometimes.
Me too. Me too. Joe Burrow is active and expected to start Monday.
Yeah, he's supposed to be playing here in a little bit.
Yeah.
Which, are you a fan of the two Monday night games?
Not really.
Like, okay, I don't mind two Monday night games. Don't put them next to each other like that, because if you, like, for me, my degenerate ass, or my fantasy football addiction having ass, I don't know which game to focus on. I'm rude.
Okay, you're talking time slots.
Time slots. Okay. Yeah.
So
time
what
slots.
Do you say? Like, do it like 4:30 and an 8.
Remember how they did it? I think it was when we were kids. The only week one they had it, where they had one at 7 o'clock and 10:30.
Yeah, I never watched that 10:30 one.
I stayed up for like an hour. Yeah, 7 o'clock was. But the thing is, now for us as older adults, we can watch some people can watch 10:30 one. But
I mean, like, I wouldn't watch one now because
I would.
For me.
I would, but I get why they're trying to. I still don't actually know.
Is
why.
Is it the full season?
No, it's just this week and next week. Okay. I'm sorry, last week, this week. I think they're doing it around Thanksgiving time. I don't know, or Christmas. I don't know.
That sounds.
But
right.
But yeah, no. I thought they were only doing it last week because first week was the 22-year anniversary. Not anniversary, but of 9/11. And New York team was playing, so I thought they were trying to keep it all to New York since the media, everything.
Right, right.
And then Rodgers blew his Achilles out.
Very unfortunate.
So, I don't know. Going back to the Jags, if they don't win Sunday, man, this season is going down the tubes and fast. I've kind of lost faith in this team after 3 weeks. Kind of, not completely.
You could say kind of, yeah. You can't say completely because
Trevor Lawrence,
we did it last year. You know, we had that run.
But the thing is, we didn't. We started 2-1. Then we lost 6 in a row.
Well, yeah, okay. 2-1, 1-2.
I'm hoping this is the exact inverse of last year. Just saying.
So we,
in terms of losing 6 straight last year, we went 6 straight.
Let's go the next 3 games. You got Falcons. I'm saying win. Bills.
Loss. We're gonna get our hands to us.
Yeah. Is it gonna be like Josh Allen coming back from the grave?
I mean, he came back from the grave this past weekend. He looked good. Did.
And then Colts at home.
Oh, my God. There's a chance we go 0-3.
Oh, Jesus. All right, let's not go any more negative. We don't need to be more negative because
there's
enough people on Twitter
3-0.
Doing that. You know, people on social media are doing that enough. We could be okay. Anything else you want to add about the Jaguars besides just one more point? fuck you, special teams. You just really made me mad. I always depend on you, and you were terrible. Punting was fine, but everything else was trash. Anything else you got about the Jags?
Can we stop? This is the last thing. Jamal Agnew should not be getting the targets or the catch. No. Like, just stop throwing it to him. He is not reliable in terms of catching the ball. No. He cost us against Kansas City last year. He affected us big time Sunday mm-hmm. against the Texans. So yep. I don't know if I want to rely on him. And why do we keep seven receivers then? Why not give Tim Jones a chance?
I said that yesterday to somebody, and they're like, Tim Jones.
Get Tim Jones and who's the other receiver? I can't remember the other receiver. Kevin Harris or something? I can't remember. But why not give them a chance? Give them a shot.
Elijah Cooks?
Thank you, Elijah Cooks, not Kevin Harris.
Jacob Harris is the other one.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. But, yeah, so I don't know.
Yeah, dude, I'm with you.
I think going to London will be interesting. I think they'll probably leave, Wednesday? Don't they leave early in the week?
Yeah, usually.
So I think the Jags will I can't even say they'll win. I don't know. I really don't know. I might have to go back to my old thing of picking against the team.
I thought I was good by just picking a low-scoring game. And
you were right on the money with the Jags.
Yeah, I was. Anyway, any other sport-related things you want to go before we wrap this baby up?
Nope, but we are getting closer to October, which means it'll be near next. I think next week, or do you want to do it now? Mike's MLB update.
Next week.
Because it'll be right.
Season will be ended.
I would say it'll be in October, so it'll be perfect.
Yeah,
okay. October baseball.
I'm gonna write that down just so I can see it for next week.
Because one of my teams is actually looking good for the playoffs. The other one is not.
Yes, that is very true. I will add one thing before we get off the Jaguars. If you haven't, I just posted today that the Scott, my brother, longtime Jaguars lover and whatnot, he just posted an article.
Former guest on the podcast. We need to have him back on.
We definitely need to have him back on. But no, if you go on dimesonduval.com, we have just posted his latest article about the Jaguars. Oh, boy. As much as I hate it, but it is titled Same Old Jaguars, and it's a 4-minute read. Check it out. We appreciate you, Scott, for putting that together, and we're always happy to post any articles. If anyone ever wants to write something and it's about sports or, a local business or something like that you think would be interesting, let us know. DM us before you write it so you don't write it for no reason. And we'll likely get you on the website. But I want to end with just a little local update. A nice little segue there. I wanted to talk about a couple things that we're opening. DreamEt is coming to the north side. I do like DreamEt. I go to the San Marco one a lot. They will be opening on, Dunn Avenue, actually. Interesting. So get some ice cream on Dunn Avenue. You have... What was the other one I had? I had it circled. I guess I lost it. Oh, well. Well, there's a new car wash coming to St. John's Bluff. Whoop-de-doo. How many car washes do we need, Mike?
Honestly, though, in St. John's Bluff, there isn't one. I actually think that's a perfect location.
We don't need any more.
That's a perfect location. I wonder if they're taking over the...
They are 4646 St. John's Bluff. Do. It doesn't say anything about if it's taking over.
I was going to say if it's taking over like near the Winn-Dixie area.
No. I'm actually going to look it up now because who cares? Because this is the end of the show. It is. Oh, it's close to Topgolf.
Oh, that's like by
Town Center Parkway. Like that corner.
There's a gate right there. Why do we need a
gate? It's the gate car wash. It's, the specialty.
They're
ones.
Finally open. Oh,
so
okay,
you see right here. Yeah, it's gonna be it's gonna be behind the gas station, right where the ER is.
That's dumb.
It is kind of dumb. We'll end it because he did say October's coming and all the fall flavors are coming to Nerdy Nuts. Pumpkin Cold Brew is their latest one. This is an email I just got today. So these are the newest email or the newest flavors. Pumpkin Cold Brew, which is espresso white chocolate peanut butter with pumpkin mallow cream, pumpkin espresso beans. Sounds awful. I'm sorry. I'm not going to lie. I don't think that sounds very good. Straw Blanche.
Straw Blanche?
Well, it's like avalanche, but Straw Blanche.
Yeah, Straw Blanche. Yeah. Straw Blanche. I don't know.
Yeah. Strawberry, white chocolate, peanut butter with question mark fluff.
Nice. You clicked that? In. You're about to order it.
But did you see that? Question mark fluff, strawberry sauce, and puffed quinoa. What the hell?
I think it's a surprise for you.
Okay, that's a weird one. Regular avalanche, though. That's a classic. White chocolate, peanut butter with marshmallow fluff, caramel,
I think that question mark was just there on accident.
I think so, too. And then last but not least, carrot cake. You know what carrot cake is. I don't like carrot cake. Oh, excuse me. Buckeye brownie is the last one. That is going to be white chocolate peanut butter base with mini buckeyes and brownies in it.
And I think I wonder if they launched it after the Ohio State win on purpose.
Maybe. I mean, they're located in North Dakota. Do you think that they're...
Yeah, never mind. They don't care about football. Well, they have their North Dakota... I would say they have their Jackrabbits. No, yeah. That's the South Dakota State.
Yeah, yeah. You were close, though. It's all good. But no, if you want to get any of these delicious fall peanut butter flavors, I say delicious after I trashed like two of them. They've got a bunch of other flavors on their website as well. That is nerdynuts.com. Use code DIMES10 to get 10% off your purchase. Mike, you going to leave us with a bet or anything like that before we go?
I'm trying to think. Over. Well, actually, you can do this. Over half interception for both Justin Fields and Russell Wilson as they play each other this Sunday. And you can also probably play the under because holy shit are those offenses awful. You know what's crazy? The Broncos allowed 70 points and they're the favorite against the Bears.
The Bears are that bad, I guess.
Yeah, they're bad.
It's funny. I love it.
They're 3.5-point favorites as of recording on Monday evening.
It's beautiful to me. You know? I'm trying to take a step back on my Packers fandom and focus more on the Jaguars fandom. But my hatred for the Bears, I think, will remain with me for the rest of my life. And I just... Who's it? I love it.
Do you hate the Bears more or the Gators?
Oh, Gators.
Okay.
Yeah. I did have to think about it, though.
Fair enough. Sorry, Bears fans, and sorry, Broncos fans, if you exist.
I know one. I know one.
I know a few, but they don't listen to the pod because they're weirdos.
Episode 95 of Dimes on Duval, presented by Nerdy Nuts. He's Mike Yashi, I'm Keith Manzi, and we'll catch you next time.